Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1 p.m. and that is Pacific Summer Time. And today is October 13th, and we're one day away from the recalculation of how money markets are going, how money market funds are going to operate. And it's a big transition because money market funds have been a place to park overnight funds for decades. And one of the ways that they could pick up an additional yield was to invest some of the money in government paper and some in commercial paper. But of course, during the financial crisis, the commercial paper went south in a very, very swift manner. That caused losses to appear on money market funds. And this is the fix. So there are going to be two kinds of money market funds. For less risk, you get less return by investing just in government paper. And that will not be able to break the buck. But then there will be the other kind where you will basically take on more risk for somewhat more reward by investing in commercial paper. And that will have a floating NAV, so it will routinely break the buck in times of stress. There is then that is removing a potential backstop from the market, at least in theory. We'll see what happens when we come to the next crisis. These crises do happen from time to time, so we'll see if this fix works. But what, of course, it means is that investors now have to make a decision because they cannot just simply put money in a money market fund overnight. They have to decide how much risk are they willing to take. So from tomorrow, we should be able to create a spread. We can create a spread between the government-backed money market funds and the commercial paper-backed ones, and as that persists over time, then we'll be able to dictate, and it might give us an idea of just how much risk corporations and corporate treasuries are willing to take on an overnight basis, and that might be a useful indicator going forward. In the meantime, LIBOR rates have gone up because this. A lot of commercial paper is priced off of LIBOR. And of course, because these money market funds will not have government backing, they will not be bailed out, then obviously corporations have to require an additional return. So then it's going to be very interesting to see where LIBOR trades after this level, because there is an enormous quantity of debt that is tied to LIBOR rates, everything from adjustable rate mortgages to commercial paper. And I think that that is, it's a question that has not yet to be resolved. It may have been part of the reason that stock markets were selling off a little this morning, but they have recouped just about all of the decline. The S&P is only down 4 now. But because it was down more earlier, Europe was down around 1%. The FTSE was a little bit less than that, and the Italian index was a little bit more. Overall today, the dollar was had pulled back a little, but certainly not in a dynamic fashion. The pound was a little steadier, the yen was a little steadier, and precious metal prices were a little steadier, but not in a dynamic fashion, as I said. So really. And platinum was actually still going down. It's being treated as if it was an industrial resource that is never going to be have any utility again in future. It's currently trading below $950, and it is overextended on the short term, increasingly overextended on a medium-term basis. But neither is there any real evidence yet that it has hit a low of any kind of significance. A clear upward dynamic would be required to signal that. Then, when we look at the oil market, it is continuing to pause in the region of the $50 area. It was up just a quarter of a dollar in here today, but natural gas is extending its breakout. There are a number of reasons for that. One of the reasons, of course, is that because the drilling for oil has decreased, and a great deal of gas comes out of oil drilling. So, with less drilling for oil, there's less gas around. That has reduced the supply. At the same time, we're getting stocking as we're heading into October, that stockpiles are continuing to be increased. And of course, the US is now an exporter of gas. Now, of course, because oil prices are low, are comparatively low, and because a great deal of gas on the international market is tied to oil prices, then there have been a number of stories around that natural gas has been floating around the world's oceans in search of a market. But we are heading into the period of the year where natural gas demand will go up. So it has broken through $3 and it is extending its advance. A clear downward dynamic would be required to check momentum. And $4 has often been cited as a level at which unconventional natural gas becomes truly economic. So there is a strong likelihood that we're going to get it back up at least towards that level. Generally speaking, the grains and beans have been particularly weak over the last few months, but they do seem to be steadying. So a low of at least near-term significance has been found for wheat, corn, and soybeans. When we take a little bit of a look around the world, the Hang Seng was down an additional 1.6%. So there is definitely mean reversion occurring here, but on the mainland market, it has been very quiet indeed. Because we have had a sort of a generally corrective phase in the precious metals, and a number of the industrial metals do appear to be now unwinding some of their short-term overbought conditions, that has acted as a little bit of a headwind to Australia. But when we look at the ASX 200, and not just over the very short term, but at least over the last year, then it's a pretty choppy environment overall. So then, in a choppy uptrend, we don't anticipate that highs are sustained, but rather that we would look more for the progression of higher reaction lows to hold, and maybe that's what we're going to see. That's the big question. There was an email that someone wrote in today asking, what do we think the performance of the S&P would be like if we took out those high performing, very large shares? And that's, I think, an interesting question, because some of the very best performers have been among the very largest companies this year. And the outperformance of Amazon in particular really does is worthy of mention, because it is hanging out for a mean reversion, but it would have to break its progression of higher reaction lows in order to give us any kind of signal that that is indeed beginning. The pace of technological innovation is such that the types of companies that are delivering the kind of productivity gains and services, and not least in software, that are really helping to drive growth, well, they're the ones that are quite obviously really marching to their own beat, and perhaps don't offer a particularly good window on what the rest of the economy is doing. But because there's only five shares represent at least 10% of the S&P 500, what they do is likely to represent a factor, at least in the ability of the S&P to hold its lows in here today. But overall, it has been up one day, down the next. This has been a pretty impressive rally off the lows. So therefore, we should be able to see some additional strength from stock markets tomorrow. In Thailand today, the king died. So what we had was a knee-jerk reaction yesterday from the market. And interestingly, the index did not get down to test the low, and it rallied well off its low in here today, suggesting that perhaps the pullback that was being anticipated has already been priced in. And the Indian market has pulled back by about 500 points over the last 6 weeks. It is now testing its progression of higher reaction lows. So far, it's been a somewhat larger reaction than we've seen in the last few months, but it's pretty similar to that we saw about 4 or 5 months ago. If it can continue to sustain that 8,500 level, then that would be an indication that it could potentially break through that 9,000 and move on to new all-time highs for the index. India, I think, has been off the radar for quite some time, but its government bonds are continuing to see their yields contract because the rupee has been so steady. And I think, when we look at the emerging markets overall, then We get a pretty similar story that we have had some currency market volatility, not least because the dollar has been rallying over the last few weeks. But by and large, these ASEAN in particular markets are a bit cheaper overall. They do have better growth prospects. And when we think about